Thank you, Brother Mike and Sister Valerie. Our IT people had to be away this evening, so you're going to read your Bibles the old-fashioned way, like I do. All right? Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. While you're turning there, just a thought before we get into the message. Y'all ever think about the songs we sing sometimes? Okay? When the roll is called up yonder. Does that mean that somebody's going to be absent? Not really. Your name just won't be there, and you won't be there as a result. So, just a thought. Just a thought, an old song. Continue on our series of Living by Faith. Living by Faith, we're going to look at Abraham and Isaac this evening. Abraham and Isaac, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 through 19. Please stand for the reading of God's Word. Kind of continuing on this little story about Abraham here. Now we have Isaac on the scene. Begin reading verse 17. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, we ask that you bless the reading of your word. Help me to preach what you've laid in my heart. Help me to focus, Lord, on the things of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, the last time we were in the study, we looked at the life of Sarah, Abraham's wife, Isaac's mother. Today, we'll pick back up in the life of what we call the founding family of Israel. Now, please turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 22. As some of you put it before, I think that's the first book of the Bible. Yes, you're correct. Hey, doctrine class, what does the word Genesis mean? Beginning. Very good. And what kind of a word is it? English, Hebrew, Greek, what is it? Greek. Who said that? That's right. Emmy? Were you in the class that day? Yes, you were. Yes, you were. She had one day in my class and she remembered that. Hallelujah. All right, good deal. All right, Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 19. Begin reading verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and he laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham! And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. So, many of us have probably heard the story before, probably well acquainted with many things about it. Just kind of FYI before we get into it, Jehovah Jireh. Does anybody know what that means? Jehovah is God of the Lord, okay? Will provide. My God shall provide. Or the Lord the provider, okay? Speaking of the provision, which makes sense, right? Because God did provide the sacrifice there. And also, the place that he went to after this was Beersheba. Brother Joel Dillahunty, when he goes to Israel, he primarily stays in Beersheba. Just kind of FYI about the place there. So my first point this evening is Abraham and Isaac were tested. Abraham and Isaac were tested. Now, again, we are pretty familiar with the story. God basically tried the faith of Abraham. And to a certain extent, he also tried Isaac's faith too. But it was primarily Abraham's faith. What was the test? He commanded Abraham to sacrifice his son that God gave to him. Dr. Joseph Brown, a good friend of mine, wrote, Abraham offering up Isaac, his son, upon Mount Moriah is the quintessential example of faith in the Scriptures. Abraham had 8 sons, as recorded in Genesis chapters 16 to 25. The writer Paul, however, called Isaac his only begotten son, meaning that Isaac was the one and only son that he had with Sarah, who was the heir of promise. Undoubtedly, the travail of Abraham's soul was indescribable because of the sacrifice that God demanded. Abraham was tried. The Greek word parazo conveys the attempt to trap in order to find fault or find some reason to reject that person as being worthwhile or good. So, when we look at this example of faith, because that's what it is, brothers and sisters in Christ, this is an example of faith. It would take great faith on Abraham's part to do what God had asked him to do and commanded him to do, really. He said, Abraham, I want you to take your only son. Now remember, there was already Ishmael at this point. But Ishmael was not the one who was going to receive the promise. Isaac was the one receiving the promise because that was through Sarah and Abraham that God blessed them and gave them a child in such an old age. He said, I want you to take your only son and I want you to sacrifice him on Mount Moriah. Now, I've told you this before, but just kind of recap. Mount Moriah is the focal point and the highest point in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built in a mountain range, okay? And to the eastern part of it is the Mount of Olives. And in between the Mount of Olives and Mount Moriah, sometimes called Mount Zion, is the Kidron Valley. But on top of Mount Moriah is where Jerusalem is built. Now, I can't prove this, and we can't find a lot of archaeological evidence from the back time of during Abraham. But wouldn't it be neat? Because Jesus was sacrificed on Mount Calvary, which is a hill, the highest point on top of Mount Moriah in Jerusalem. Wouldn't it be neat to know that Abraham and the sacrificing of Isaac on Mount Moriah was done on top of Calvary's here, where Jesus would be crucified hundreds of years to come. That would be neat. Because as we've discovered from our readings and of the Bible, that this was a picture of Christ to come. Now, we can't prove it, but it sure will preach, though. That's good stuff. But going back to Abraham and Isaac, Abraham, as the Bible describes here in the book of Hebrews, was tried of his faith. He was put to test. He was done, as the Greek word indicates, not that God was trying to trap him, but to prove his faith. Hebrews 2 and 18. Hebrews 2 and 18. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor or aid them that are tempted. That's referring to Jesus. Jesus has suffered. He was tempted like we are tempted, as the Bible says, yet without sin. And Jesus died for our sins. He was sacrificed for our sins. But he knows how to deal with temptation. He taught that to us in his word, and he teaches that to us now. How do we fight the temptation? We depend upon God and have faith in him. And Abraham and Isaac were good examples of this here. Now, we don't know exactly what Abraham was thinking, but Abraham was going to go through with this without question or complaint. Now, we've just read the passages here. We read Genesis chapter 22 and Hebrews chapter 11. Never once did we hear Abraham saying, Lord, are you sure? Lord, I really don't want to do this. And by the way, Sarah would have had no say in the matter. Now, I can just imagine some of you mamas out here tonight said, nope, Abraham, not going to happen. Not going to happen. But back during those days, the women didn't really have a say in the matter. Right? Abraham was doing it without question. Now, some people overthink things. Did y'all know that? Some people overthink things, especially when it comes to the Word of God. An example of overthinking is found in the following story. A psychologist, an engineer, and a theologian were on a hunting trip in Canada. Seeking shelter, they knocked on the door of a small, isolated cabin. No one was home, but the front door was unlocked. And they entered. They saw something strange. A large, pot-bellied cast iron stove was suspended in midair by wires attached to ceiling beams. Why would a stove be elevated from the floor? The psychologist concluded, "It is obvious that this lonely trapper, isolated from humanity, has elevated his stove so that he can curl up under it and vicariously experience a return to his mother's womb." Sounds like something a psychologist would say, right? Yeah. The engineer theorized, "The man is practicing laws of thermodynamics. By elevating his stove, he has discovered a way to distribute heat more evenly throughout the cabin." Sounds like an engineer, right? Then the theologian speculated, "I'm sure that hanging his stove from the ceiling has religious meaning. Fire lifted up has been a religious symbol for centuries." Sounds like something a preacher would say. Well, while they were debating the matter, the trapper returned. They immediately asked him why he'd hung his potbelly stove by wires from the ceiling. The trapper replied, "Had plenty of wire, not much stovepipe." You see, it's easy to overthink things if we're not careful. Same thing is with the Word of God. Let's not speculate where God does not. We can talk about what Abraham was thinking, but this much we do know, is that Abraham was going to go through with it. He was. He was going to go through with it. But he had enough faith in God that God was going to take care of it. My next point this evening is Abraham and Isaac were proved. Abraham and Isaac were proved. Now, here in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 5, where Abraham tells the young man, he says, "Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again." The word worship here is the first time it's ever used in the Bible. Now, we see some examples of worship before this time, but this is the very, 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 very first time where we see the word worship occurring in the Bible. The word worship here means, "and we will cause ourselves to bow down." And we will cause ourselves to bow down. So what does that mean? That means out of our own free will, from no outside force, will we willingly choose to bow down and yield ourselves to another. Abraham here gave humanity a glimpse of how to worship God. When we worship the Lord, it should be in a voluntary and humble way that respects God and shows that He is the Lord and ruler of all, as well as choosing to follow Him and His Word. And what's also interesting from Genesis chapter 22 is that apparently Abraham had taught Isaac how to offer sacrifices to the Lord. Number one, this is the duty of every father and husband. We are to be the spiritual leaders of our homes while teaching our children how to worship the Lord. Now, we're not under the law anymore, and we don't have to offer up sacrifices, but just like Abraham and all the patriarchs and all the men in the Old Testament were really required by God to teach their sons how to worship God, that hasn't changed for us here in the New Testament age. Men, we're the spiritual leaders of our homes. We're the ones responsible for our wives and our children and how they conduct themselves before the Lord. And it's our duty to teach them how to worship God. And Abraham had taught this to Isaac. And number two, the evidence is found when Isaac asked in Genesis 22:7, "My father," and he said, "Here I am, my son." And he said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Old Isaac was no dummy. And it's probably safe to say that Isaac was probably an adult by this point. Okay? He was not married yet, but he was an adult. And he says, can you just imagine? Wood, fire. There's something missing here. Where's the sacrifice? Daddy, you're kind of missing something essential here. Maybe he thought, Daddy's kind of losing his old age here. I mean, he was already over 100, well over 100. And he said, "Don't worry about it, son. Don't worry about it." Abraham's response to Isaac proved that Abraham had faith for the situation. What did he say in verse 8 of Genesis 22? "My son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they both went of them together. Don't worry about it, son. God Himself will provide the sacrifice. And apparently that was good enough for Isaac. But that shows that Abraham already had the faith right then and there that God was going to take care of it. Even though he was willing to go through with the matter, somehow he knew God was going to take care of it. It's called faith. That's what that is. Some of us might be able to say, "I couldn't do that." Well, you're right. You probably can't in your current faith situation. Now, God has not asked any of us, and I would eventually say, will not ask us to sacrifice our children. Okay? He's not going to do that. The example has already been given in His Word. But we do need to have that much faith in the Lord that Abraham had. Brother Brown wrote, "Through Isaac, Abraham received the promises. These were the driving forces of his pilgrimage and consecrated life. Without Isaac, there would be no lasting legacy, no physical or spiritual offering, no great nation, and no link with the Messiah to come. Without Isaac, the future looked bleak and the promises of God unfulfilled. Abraham, however, continued to trust God, even though he did not fully understand the reasons that God commanded him to sacrifice his son. God had specifically told Abraham that Isaac, not Ishmael, was the fulfillment of his covenant. The covenant would continue through Isaac and his seed, not Ishmael. The only possibility, therefore, that remained to Abraham was to believe by faith that God would raise Isaac from the dead. Even though nobody had ever been raised at this point in history, Abraham believed by faith that God would raise Isaac. It was the way, only way, for Abraham to do what God had told him to do and for God to keep his promise. As we read in Hebrews chapter 11, when it says, by faith Abraham offered up Isaac. He was tested for his faith. As we read in verse 19, that he had enough faith that God was able to raise him from the dead. Whew, y'all. Abraham had some faith. Whew, he had some faith. Not only was he willing to go ahead and go through with the matter, but he had so much faith to know that God has already promised that through Isaac, nobody else was the promise, the covenant, going to go through. God had made that promise, and you know what? Abraham has seen God prove himself time and time again before this point. He knew God had this. My last point in this scene is Abraham and Isaac were delivered. Abraham and Isaac were delivered. Abraham was ready to sacrifice his son. This shows the great faith Abraham that he had. He had more faith than most of us would. As he was ready to kill Isaac. Now, y'all think about this too. About Isaac, just for a minute. Isaac was awake and aware what was supposed to happen. Because Abraham bound him to the altar with the wood on it. Okay? And Abraham got out the knife, was ready to kill Isaac. Now, the Bible doesn't record that Isaac said anything. I believe he didn't say anything. Now, again, we don't know what was going through Isaac's mind. But Isaac apparently had enough faith in Daddy, who had enough faith in God. As Abraham got his knife ready to kill his son, God stopped him. He stopped him right before he killed Isaac and then provided a sacrifice. When Abraham lifted Isaac off the altar, it was as though he had risen from the dead. God had been faithful. Turn to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. Romans 4, verses 16 through 18. Begin reading verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. God had come through for Abraham and Isaac. He said, all right, I know that you are that you are living by faith. And I love this. God's whole purpose for this. Now, this is where a lot of unbelieving people would say, why would you serve a God like that? They would. Oh, yeah. They say, you mean you'd never serve a God that would ask for you to sacrifice your child? Well, it was all done for a purpose. As Hebrews chapter 11, as we read, God's whole purpose for this was to show a figure, as it says here, or a picture of things to come. And that angel stopped Abraham. Yeah, I think my heart would have skipped a beat, personally. I don't know about Abraham. Don't you know it was a relief when he turned around, saw that ram, his horn caught in the thicket there? God had provided the sacrifice, just as Abraham had said. Don't you know, he very hurriedly got Isaac off that altar. Come on, boy. God's done proved himself again to us. He sent the sacrifice just as I knew he would. But the picture here is that God sacrificed his only begotten Son. He provided the sacrifice in place of us. See, that's the thing, y'all, is that we deserve to die. In fact, we read that for the wages of sin is death. There's a price for sin, and it's death. That's why we all have to die. We all deserve to die. But God did something great. He provided the sacrifice in place of us, just like He did in place of Isaac. God Himself provided that, but instead of sin, and He sent a lamb. He sent the Lamb, but He sent His only begotten Son. It sums it up in John 3:16, the most quoted Bible verse in the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I wonder, so many of these examples, we're looking at the Old Testament, if they just had an inkling of what God was going to do with their lives from years to come. I'm sure most of them had no idea. It didn't matter to them. They lived by faith. Now, y'all, we don't have to live in doubt anymore. We don't. We have the completed Word of God. We don't have to doubt, is God real or not? He's proved Himself time and time again through history, but most importantly, through His Word. We don't have to doubt of where does God stand on certain matters. His Bible, His Word is very clear. But you know what? We still have to live by faith. This is so hard for so many people to accept. Because you can't touch God. You can't. You know why? He's a spirit. Jesus taught us that God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You can't audibly hear God's voice. No. You can't. Oh, there's people since the Bible's been completed that proclaim that they have heard the voice of God. Well, I don't doubt they have heard something. They've had an experience of some type, but it wasn't of the Lord. When God's Word has said it, that's the end of it. Brethren, that's the end of it. There's no arguing about it. If God says it, that's it. Whether you choose to believe or not, it's completely up to you. But I'm going to choose to believe it. And I pray that you do too. That's why we live by faith. Living the life of faith is very blessed. But when we strive to do what we want to do and so what God would have us to do, then our lives become miserable. That's why so many lost people are looking for something to fill that void in their life. They don't realize it, but they're looking for Jesus. But they're looking all the wrong places, most of them. But when they get Jesus, oh, what a wonderful time it is. For those of us who are saved this evening, we understand that. Loved it when Brother Zach told me this week after he got saved, he said, I feel the lightest I've ever felt in my life, and I feel clean. I love that. Because the blood of Jesus will wash your sins away. Relieve your heavy load of burdens. If you're here and you're lost this evening, the Lord can do the same thing for you. You need to realize that you're lost, you're a sinner, you're bound for hell, and that you need Jesus as your personal Savior. And all you have to do is ask, and He will save you this evening. But you have to use faith in order to do such. As we've discovered early on in these lessons, that we have to live by faith, and it's impossible to serve God without faith. My hope and prayer this evening is that each and every one of you here this evening has made a decision, whether it was recently or a long time ago, to trust Jesus as your personal Savior. But if not, I pray you would do it tonight. There's no better time than right now to start living by faith. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your blessings over us. And Lord, I thank you for the great lesson of faith given by Abraham and Isaac this evening. I pray, Lord, that our faith would be strengthened, that we would, Lord, use our faith to live by you. Lord, for those that might be here that are not sure if they're saved or lost, Lord, let them know very clearly right now. And Lord, if they're lost, I pray they would make this decision right now to be saved. Bless our invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please stand, Brother Mike? What shall we sing?